Jason Block here for WLTI on 83studios.com, but we have a special extra this week. And we start the decade of 2020 with a pretty cool six-episode documentary about Canada's game shows, which debuts January 16th on Game TV. I have the writer, director, and producer here with me, Mr. Dave Hodgkin. I'm sorry. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic because when I first saw this, and by the way, you actually got help from a mutual friend of ours, Mr. Ryan Vickers.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, Ryan has been incredibly helpful to us in this production. He's in our neck of the woods up here in Canada.
What part of Canada are you from?
Our production is based in Toronto, and so Ryan is just north of the city. But he actually availed himself to us when he found out we were doing this show, and so a lot of the not only did we interview him for the series, and he hosts a pretty venerable game show production called Reach for the Top up here,
right,
which started eons ago. But and he's the host now. He was Alex Trebek in the beginning, and now it's him. So, but he not only was he a valuable source of information, but he has a lot of these shows that are sort of lost to time and may only exist on someone's VHS tape. So he gave us a lot of material that's been really valuable. So I'm glad to hear that, you know, Ryan as well.
Ryan's a terrific guy. But so what inspired you to say, you know what, I'm going to do a historical documentary on the history of Canadian game shows?
So some of my productions in the past have been historically based. So I did a documentary about the history of fantasy sports, so fantasy football and baseball, as well as one about the history of Canadian MMA for a channel called The Fight Network here in Canada. So really it came out of a need for Game TV to have some original content that spoke to its audience. I won't pretend it was my idea to do the production, but I was brought in the early going, and I really liked the idea. And Game TV is sort of a channel up here that really began as essentially the Game Show Network Canada, and then really kind of became more of a general entertainment network up here. But over the last few years, I think has really kind of gone back to its roots and showing a lot of the older game shows, so Bumper Stumpers and Talk About and these classic Canadian game shows. So I think they see it in the ratings that fans want more of this kind of material, and so. In terms of a documentary, it's a really interesting topic, and as we kind of began the research phase, to be perfectly honest, I was a bit worried about having enough topics and episodes for a 6-episode series. But we found as we got into it, there are a lot of interesting stories in there, and a lot of the focal figures were available to us. So as we've gotten into it, it's proved to be really, really interesting.
So, how far back do you go? In other words, Where do the beginnings start in the Canadian game show industry?
So in our first episode, we actually take it back to us with a bit of a precursor about the history of game shows in the United States and how they got going in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so kind of the place that we start in Canada is with not a game show, but a panel show, which is called Front Page Challenge. Okay. And this was a show that that had a lot of the kind of historical newsmakers on the show. I believe it began in the 1950s, and so it was a show here that had a panel of sort of news people that would bring on a guest who was important to a news issue of the time, not just Canadian but American newsmakers as well. So people like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King would be brought up to sort of speak to an issue of the time, and it was the conceit of the game was that the panel, who was a regular panel of four, would have to guess who the newsmaker was just from the sound of their voice, and it was almost like 20 questions.
Or what's my line? The blind guest, the mystery guest, sort of thing.
That exactly that. So before we had sort of made our foray into truly game shows, this was one of the first ones of the time. And also in our first episode, we talk about how so the 1950s quiz show scandal, which I'm sure your audience is very familiar with.
Yes.
It had a real effect on the industry here, because when Jack Barry and Dan Enright went through their issues and were essentially blackballed from the industry, they both, but especially Dan Enright, came to Canada because they weren't blacklisted up here. So they had a real effect in sort of bringing along the first generation of real game show producers, along with other international producers who came to Canada, but Dan Enright being an especially relevant example. And so one of the producers that he mentored in Canada is named Sidney M. Cohen. And so he ended up being one of the really preeminent game show creators and directors on this side of the border. So we kind of begin our series by talking about that, about an American event that sort of the ripple effect was that it really gave Canada a chance to learn, Canadian producers and directors a chance to learn at the feet of one of these greats. And Dan also comes back into the series later on because he worked on a show called Bumper Stumpers that he kind of came full circle where he got to come to Canada again now that he had regained his career in the United States. So that's kind of where we start the roots of things in Canada.
So you were talking about the fact that Dan Enright moved over to Canada after the scandals. How much do you think American shows had an influence on Canadian game shows and vice versa?
I think certainly Canadian game shows followed the lead of the United States. So a lot of the successful shows have sort of been American formats where a twist where it's taking the newlywed game and having it be, you know, brothers and sisters, children in race cars with a show like Kid Street. And this is probably true of all of Canadian media, it's kind of we're always in the shadow of American productions and we're kind of trying to find our place in the margins and what's our little sliver of the pie that we can, where can we do something interesting because so much of our content is imported from the United States. So there's definitely shows that we touch on that are born out of a necessity to kind of produce our own content that could be passed off as American, that could, make use of American producers who were looking to film their shows cheaply and cost effectively in Canada. And so, we got to luckily speak with Wink Martindale for the show, who was a total treat and had so much great information. But he came to Canada to produce a lot of his shows, talking about Bumper Stumpers or Second Honeymoon, shows of that nature. So in terms of a Canadian influence on the United States, I think really, rather than us influencing what they've done, I think Canada has had some really quality entries, shows that, you know, the knock on a lot of Canadian productions is that they look Canadian, but I think there's been some success with game shows, with series that held their own in terms of being shows that could either be co-produced with Americans or produced for an American audience. And particularly as we kind of get into the 1980s on the show, you know, some quality entries that ended up being distributed internationally that didn't really look Canadian, to use that term. So I think Canada's kind of pulled its weight, and kind of a theme of the show is that Canada's output to the game show industry as a whole has been pretty outsized compared to, you know, the size of our nation, but the talent that we put out has been substantial. And we do talk about the Canadian hosts as well and sort of do biographical pieces about the greats like Alex Trebek and Monty Hall.
I was gonna get to that in a second, because Alex Trebek and Monty Hall are not just Canadian giants; they're worldwide icons. How do you take the giants like those two and, you know, respect them as much as you do?
Yeah, so I think, and that's something that we're definitely cognizant of as we produce this. What we talk about with both of those, this is an episode 2 that we sort of talk about some of the great hosts who came out of Canada in the 50s and 60s. Those two being primarily the two that we talk about. But with Alex, you know, for us, it's a chance to talk about some of the Canadian shows where he kind of cut his teeth in the industry, and
as you said, reach for the top.
Reach for the top. He also hosted a show called Strategy. That's a pretty interesting game. Very much lost the time in terms of the footage, but it was a pretty complex game that was basically a maze that involved booby traps. And I wish I could see it because it sounds amazing. But also shows like Music Hop, which was essentially sort of this 1960s. You know, one of our interview subjects related it to Mel's Rock Pile on SCTV. But sort of Alex comes out and he's got a sweater around his neck and he's saying, "Hey, kids." And it's pretty interesting to see Alex in these varied and rare appearances that, you know, somebody who's watching Jeopardy had no idea that before he got that call in the 1980s, 25 years before is when the journey really started. So for us, it's exciting to kind of show some of these clips that very few people have seen. And with Monty, admittedly, I didn't know much about his career before we kind of started into the research, but he's got some pretty interesting roots in Canada, where we get to tell the story with the help of an interview guest named Adam Nediff, who, you know,
Adam. Adam is a guy who, for those who don't know, has written like almost 11, 12 books on game shows. He's spectacular in what he does.
So how we got to Adam was actually interesting, because it happened in the course of an interview. We were interviewing a subject about Monty Hall, and we were in Los Angeles at the time conducting this interview, and he said, oh, you should really talk to this guy named Adam Nediff. He's writing a book about Monty Hall right now. So Adam ended up being really focal and actually played a role in the production in terms of helping us source some archive photos and things that he had come across in the course of writing his book. But Monty, he told a story about Monty where in his youth, there was sort of a local well-to-do business person in Winnipeg where Monty's from. And he sort of made a deal with Monty, pardon the pun, that he would fund his education if he promised to pay it forward, you know, should he ever experience success. So we get to tell the story of Monty's success, in Canada and going to the United States. But then he was had such a philanthropic side and a legacy in that realm that really came full circle. And, that's a story that I think there's people who know that Monty definitely did a lot of work with the telethons. But the roots of that are totally fascinating. So I think with Alex and Monty, we get to tell not just the Canadian side of the story, but also the story of their success in the United States and how that was kind of born out of the work they did in their younger years on this side.
There's another host that is actually one of my personal underrated hosts, who hosted a show called Definition up in Canada named Jim Perry. Do you cover him in the documentary?
We absolutely do. Yeah, we have a pretty beefy segment that we're working on about Definition with a real focus on Jim, because it's pretty interesting. Our celebrities and our stars are the stars that move on to the United States. That's usually the way the flow of talent goes, but Jim is unique because he's an American who,
right,
to make his name and find his fame, he came to Canada. So there's a lot of cool stuff that we're able to talk about with Jim and a lot of people who remember him fondly. We talked to the announcer for Definition in Canada, his name is Dave Duvall. He's now retired, but we were able to get to him, and he doesn't really do a lot of media these days because he's happily retired and away from the industry, but we got him, and we actually got to talk to Howie Mandel about Jim Perry in a pretty interesting way, because we wanted to talk to Jim's son, who is Sean Perry, and he's a very successful agent in Hollywood. We said, hey, we'd like to talk to you about your father and what made him great and these sorts of things. And he said, I don't really do these appearances on camera, but I'm happy to connect you to Howie Mandel, who's also with our agency. And of course we're certainly not gonna decline
that.
Yeah.
he's kind of a successful Canadian too, kind of.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just a little bit. So Howie got to talk to us about how, when he was, when he took on Deal or No Deal, he kind of looked to Jim Perry as a little bit of a template for elements of what he was doing. And he gives the example of, notoriously the prizes on most of these Canadian shows are, pretty crappy if you're talking about, lawn care appliances or lawn care equipment and, shampoo and things like that. But Jim Perry could say it was sort of this tone that drew you in and made you think it was the most impressive prize ever. So, when Howie was on Deal or No Deal, he was giving away $1 million in some cases. And he trying to kind of look to Jim Perry, who created that gravity, and Howie also talks about how his first kind of celebrity appearance was in Canada as a guest on Definition. So he actually appeared on the show too. So a lot of people talking about that show. It's one that, as we've told people about the idea of the show, they've wanted to make sure that we're doing something on Definition, and happy to say that we are.
So you said you've spoken to, for this project, Wink Martindale and Holly Mandel. Who else have you gotten? Who's going to appear on this show?
So a lot of the people are writers and producers of some of these shows who may not be notable public figures, but they're kind of inside the guts of these shows. I mentioned Sidney M. Cohen, who is the director of a lot of these shows and created one that we go in some detail, which is The Mad Dash.
I actually saw a recent clip of that that just came onto YouTube.
That may have even been on our channel. So we've created a channel called Canada's Game Shows that we're, as we come across some of this footage and some of these episodes, we're making them available as well, because they were kind of sitting somewhere in underneath someone's bed or in a closet that, you know, we also are trying to make this an effort to preserve some of these tapes that may be lost in the future. One interesting person that we're talking to on the show is Stephen Page from Bare Naked Ladies.
Cool.
Who some people know, or few may know, that his first television appearance wasn't as a member of Bare Naked Ladies, but was on a Canadian classic called Bumper Stumpers. So
okay. We
were lucky enough to get some time with him and to talk about his experience on the show. And he's got a pretty funny story about, you know, I think he went on with his partner and it was a bit of a lark where, hey, let's just kind of see how we do. They didn't really prepare thoroughly, but they did prepare a song for the host, Al Dubois. That was kind of their focus, rather than, hey, let's bone up on some license plates. So he gets to tell that story. And so in some of these shows, it's kind of about some of the interesting things that that behind the scenes retellings of some of these things. And I think people are going to be pretty happy with the depth that we go into and just having fun with some of these shows that no one's really told the behind-the-scenes stories.
Do you think that there has also been an influence? You talked about sort of European producers, specifically France. What has been the French, if you've done in your research, the French influence and the European influence on the Canadian game show industry?
That's pretty interesting, and to be honest, I'm not too sure about the European influence. I do know that, some of the interesting stories that we tell in the series are about Canadian formats that went overseas. And I just mentioned the Mad Dash. We got our hands on some pretty interesting footage, which is the Mad Dash went off the air in 1985 in Canada. But Sidney Cohen, the creator, he always had dreams of kind of it being licensed somewhere else and being the big budget blockbuster that he hoped it would be. And so about a decade after the fact, he actually got that opportunity to put the show back up in Poland.
Oh, and, wow.
He at the time had he brought a documentary camera person to go along with him and kind of document this trip of him going to Poland to put his show on one more time and this bigger budget revival. And so he gave those tapes to us and said, hey, you know, you're welcome to have these. I never did anything with them. You just have to promise that you're going to use them. So in that Mad Dash episode, we get to also see his trip to Poland, you know, a decade after it went off the air, to kind of teach the Polish how to do a game show. So I can't speak too much about the influence that European producers have had on Canadian productions or American productions, but I will say in our show, it's pretty interesting to see the Canadian shows that kind of against all odds had this outsized impact that kind of went across borders.
So do you think that the Canadian game shows are less conservative or more nuttier than the Americans from what you have seen? Or where do you come down on that?
I think it varies by the show, and I think we have interesting tales of both in this show. So a show that was definitely nuttier than a lot of American shows is a show called Test Pattern, which was actually on Much Music, the Canadian version of MTV, if you will. And that's one that is actually going to go online as a mini doc we're producing for YouTube. It won't be in the 6-episode series, but I should also mention that we're going to have some digital extras, things that didn't quite make it in. But Test Pattern was this totally crazy show that was basically this crazy low budget game show where to buzz in. The thing it's closest to that your listeners might know is Remote Control. But I think it even went
one of my all time favorites. Personally.
Yeah, so it even went even further than the American show. It had to buzz in. The contestants had buzzers on their foreheads, and if they wanted to buzz in to answer a question, they had to smack themselves in the head to do so. To pick your category on this kind of lower budget Jeopardy style board with TVs, you had to throw a brick through the TV screen and pull your clue out. Contestants to kind of choose, I believe their game category, they're actually put on this large circular board and spun around with an arrow on their head until they got to the one that the category that they had to answer. So, and it was actually done by, a production company in Canada called Insight Productions that now produces a lot of the pretty high budget shows in Canada. So talking about some of the Canadian adaptations of American reality shows and things like that, but this was one of their first. And, that's another show that, due to kind of our relationship with the original producers of the show, we're able to get some tapes. And this is one that's really not on YouTube at all, except for a couple of commercials that have been put up on different YouTube channels. So I think people, fans of that show, and even those who don't know about it, are going to be pretty excited to see some of that, because it's another one of these ones that sort of, it airs and, you know, it never really, it's not really thought about at the time. Let's make sure we preserve this for future generations of viewers. And it kind of gets put in a broom closet somewhere, but we're excited for the opportunity to get that footage back out there.
You were talking about reality shows. Do you cover that in the documentary, like Big Brother Canada, Top Chef Canada, things like that? Because that has an influence as well.
Sure. Yeah. That we will touch on that in the last episode. So we kind of talk about, I would say that, we kind of in the, our last episode cuts off in the 1990s, because after that, we talk a bit about the influence on reality television in Canada, on game shows in Canada, I should say, because, in the 2000s, a lot of the game shows that have been produced or the game show style shows, have been sort of American or foreign formats that have kind of just had Canada put on the end. So on, in our series, we really focus on the ones that were original Canadian contributions, but also the effect that reality TV had on the game show industry, because, you know, as the game shows were the original cheap to produce format that, you know, could be done. A million episodes could be produced on a shoestring budget. Mm-hmm. And when the advent of reality television, that became the go-to format. So we have some of the creators and producers of these shows kind of lamenting that fact. They'd love to do a game show, but when networks are looking to go cheap, they go to reality and they don't necessarily think about game shows. So so we do touch on the reality's impact on the game shows, and we try to take a little bit of a look forward to, well, you know, what is the future of game shows in Canada? Could we get to the point where Canadians become sort of the ideators and innovators with some of these shows that have come out, and get back to that point of being not just a producer in Canada, but creating these formats that to some degree go worldwide. And so that's kind of going to be near the end of our series, where we talk about where do we think it's going to go next.
Now, you were talking about the Americanized. I mean, do you have any opinion on the Canadian versions of American shows, like, you know, Lingo, Match Game Canada, and which debuted last week, Family Feud Canada, which just debuted last week?
Yeah, I've not seen an episode of that yet, but I think in moderation, there's nothing wrong with it. And I mentioned Insight Productions. They actually have produced a lot of those shows when you're talking about the Match Game Canada and shows like that. So I think it would be great to have both, where we have, you know, we're able to put a Canadian spin on an American show. I also don't think it's something that, I think it was just done differently before. So, you know, we talk about a show called Love Handles that was produced in Canada, and that was essentially just the Newlywed Game. But a lot of times it's been the twist that Canadians put on it. So while it's not the Newlywed Game Canada, it is pretty much the Newlywed Game. And the twist that we discovered with Love Handles that we think was a worldwide first is that they had gay couples on the show, which had definitely never before happened in a Canadian show, and we have yet to learn of another game show worldwide that's done it, and they did it consciously, because, you know, Canada was also one of the first countries to legalize gay marriage, and it has always been at least in the last many decades, very gay friendly. So it made sense that it would be done in Canada. And we talked to one of the producers named Jackie Swanson, who kind of recognized that it was a show that, that unless we put our own spin on it in some way, it's just basically going to be this this carbon copy version of an American format. So that's a story we're interested to share. But to get back to your original question, I think it would be great now if we had a couple of, you know, shows that were game shows that were Canadian produced that weren't just, you know, insert American or UK show Canada. And, you know, I think that's something that I hope Game TV can play a part on, and maybe our show kind of gets the ball rolling where let's remind people about all of these great Canadian game shows, be proud of our past, thump our chest a bit, and then, you know, let's see what we can do to kind of restoke that flame and maybe inspire the next generation of creators to do their thing.
So just a couple more questions before we wrap this up. Were you a fan of any of the classic shows before you went into this project?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, of all the shows that we talk about, I was definitely a big fan of Video and Arcade Top 10, which is not a traditional game show, but definitely had game show elements. And we touch on it for a bit near the end of our series. And this was basically, you know, as the Nintendo Entertainment System became a huge phenomenon. This was one of the first shows where it was kids playing it in a competitive fashion. You had a host who was also talking about the big news in game shows. And before you had YouTube and Twitch, this was the way that you'd learn what new games were coming out and be able to see what the games looked like. So it was a format that really played
sort,
into
sort the, of like Starcade, if you know of that show in the United States back in the 80s.
I don't know that one, but it sounds like a similar format.
Yeah.
So that was one that I watched just because I was huge into video games at the time, and I think they were wise to kind of use a game show format. As well, we talk about a show called Uh-Oh, which was on YTV in Canada. Our last episode is basically a focus on how game shows sort of had this revival in the 1990s, being used by YTV to target, you know, the youth audience they were after. So Uh-Oh is this completely crazy show where the host is basically, he was an actor and comedian in Toronto. He's playing this character called Wink Yahoo, and he's sort of like, he looks like, you know, a cartoon version of a game show host, sort of inspired taking, you know, a Wink Martindale type host and then making them totally off the wall and crazy. And, you know, you had someone in a Punisher mask, or his character was called the Punisher, but he's basically wearing this almost like leather daddy suit with a gimp mask. I don't think this would fly today, but he would.
I don't think so. No,
probably not. But he would grab kids and basically punish them on set and like pour slime on them or dunk them into water. And it was something that, you know, I'm excited to show that off on the show. Because it's another thing that Canadians did. I mean, it was in a tradition of the Nickelodeon sliming of kids, very much in the zeitgeist at the time, but was done in a unique way that I don't think any show has really done since and probably wouldn't be able to do since. So for me, it's some of these shows of the 90s that we're touching on in our final episode. But I think that's the great thing about the show is that even if you're not familiar with some of these shows, there's going to be something from every viewer's, you know, whether they watched in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s or even earlier, that they're going to, you know, maybe we get them with the definition segment and they kind of are interested enough to stick with us in the series. And so I think for most people, you know, game shows were some of the first shows that they really connected with. And that's probably why we remember them so fondly. We watched them as kids. For me, it was, you know, talking about an American show when I was a kid, I loved to watch The Price is Right. There's just something so fun about it and would love to watch it. And I think it's just something that's so simple and fun and pure about them. And it's a game above all else. So, you know, you connect with that because kids love games. And then these are the shows that kind of stick with you. So, you know, across the decades, there's a lot of shows that that we're pretty excited about and ones that I didn't even know existed that that in learning about the backstory or the impact that they had in Canada or internationally, I was pretty excited to dig into in more detail.
So where can people watch this, first of all, in Canada and hopefully worldwide? Tell us where all the social media and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. So on Twitter and Instagram, we are at Canada Game Shows. Right. If you want to follow us, that's where we're going to let you know exactly where you can watch it. But we do know that our premiere is going to be Thursday, January 16th at 7 p.m. on Game TV, we've got a double episode premiere, which is going to be our episode sort of about the roots of Canadian game shows and Front Page Challenge, which I mentioned. And the second episode is, it's got a couple of great biographical pieces about Monty Hall and Alex Trebek, which I alluded to earlier. So that's the linear premiere. And we can also let you know that it's going to be streaming internationally on the Game TV website. So that's igametv.com. We believe so anyway. That's what I understand at this time. And you can also follow our website, canadasgameshows.com, which I'm sure they'll be embedded on as well. So yeah, for it won't just be Canadians who get to watch. It'll be international.
The interest on this one has been pretty big, from what at least in the circles that I run, there is a lot of interest in this.
That's awesome to hear, because, you know, what we're cognizant of is that's these, you know, a show like Bumper Stumpers, we know as much as that's Canadian, you know, it was also pretty beloved in America as well and had some pretty prominent Americans working on it. So I'm pretty excited to, you know, and I think that's the story of Canadian game shows, is that the ones that did well ended up having this this outsized impact I think a lot of people wouldn't even know it's Canadian, except for our French Canadian host. But yeah, I'm excited to hear that there's been so much interest, and I'm pretty proud of the effort we put forward. It's a pretty you know, small dedicated crew up here that's been working on it. It's basically been just myself and my editor and cinematographer, RJ Maloney, who kind of gone with it end to end. So covering a lot of game show topics in a very short period of time, but it's been totally excited to learn about this stuff and excited to share it with a wide audience.
Dave Hodgson, I keep doing that. It's hard, but not enough coffee. But producer, writer, director of The Search for Canada's Game Shows on Game TV, January 16th, and hopefully on igametv.com. Thank you very much for spending a half hour with us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Yeah, thanks for having me, and look forward to you seeing the show.
Absolutely. This is Jason Block for Game Show News Net, and we're signing off here on A3Studios.com.